Call the meeting of the Board of Trustees for the Finance Committee to order. And the first item up there is actually second item on there. It says adoption or amendment to the agenda. Any additions, corrections, or anything to the agenda? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the agenda? By Jeff?
Second.
Second by Ed. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Next item is the approval of minutes of February 19th. Has everybody had a chance to look them over? Any questions, concerns, corrections? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Motion by Lee, second by Ed. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried, thank you. Item number four, designation of letter of current letter of credit.
Why do we have a letter of credit, Aaron?
If you remember back,
I don't.
Safer that way.
Move on then.
Start from the beginning.
Okay, strike that. We moved from collateralized pledges at the banks to letters of credit, which are a easier financial instrument for backing our deposits and securities at Bremer Bank.
Okay. Doesn't tie up as much capital? Is that what I heard?
It ties up a lot less capital for Bremer, and they get to use that money to loan out too. And we can draw upon that if we ever needed to, but we're never going to need to. Yeah. And the reason why I'm bringing this one is because it changed from $350,000 down to $150,000. And I guess I feel that every time it changes or I get a new one from the bank, that this board probably ought to reapprove it. Mm-hmm. Just so you're aware of what amount is backing our deposits. And so currently we got $250,000 FDIC, and then we have the $150,000 letter of credit, which puts us at $400,000.
This is unfair. I hate this when my fellow board members do this to staff, but what the hell? What's that cost us? Any idea?
Nothing.
The letter of credit is free?
Doesn't cost us anything.
No kidding. God, we should have you do negotiating for the county.
No, and thank you, Aaron, for bringing this, because the transparency and above board, everybody knows what's going on. There's all of a sudden, Aaron, when did you tell this? Is 3 years ago kind of thing? You know,
They periodically review it over at the bank and, you know, say, you know, our savings account went from $250,000 down to $100,000, and we left it there because, say, we needed the money for something. They would periodically review it and probably drop the letter of credit down to $50,000. You know, they do it just to keep it at the right level in case something were to happen. We're insured by FDIC and by that letter of credit, so we wouldn't lose anything.
Is that as clear as the Crow River to everybody?
And I remember, Mr. Chairman, there was like three options. It wasn't a bond. It was a letter of credit. There was something else.
The way that used to be done was the collateral pledges, which that actually does tie up money for the bank, and that's what we were using. And that's when they approached me with this financial instrument here. And the third one, I guess I don't recall what the third one was. Up top of my head. I can find out if you need me to.
No, but I don't. If it's free, it's good.
I don't get any charges for it, so.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you want to move this?
Yes.
I will.
Okay. Motion by Jeff, second by Lee. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Item five, patron service lending policy revisions. Karen.
So, if you remember last September, we did fines forgiveness, and it was a roaring success. And since then, we've been talking about how we should approach the issue of fines going forward. And the board has asked some hard questions about what would make the most sense. We've done some homework. And even though it's a patron services policy, we felt like the finance committee would be the first group to look at this, since it has a direct financial impact. So that's why it's in the finance packet. So we believe that the best approach to weaning ourselves off of fines is this next step of eliminating fines for juvenile and young adult materials. Partly because it's simple. It's simple for people to understand. You're not talking about only kids' books on kids' cards or opening yourself up to, is a parent going to get five kid cards so that they can check out unlimited materials that are fines-free. And but from just a basic understanding of why we do what we do, it makes sense to make books more accessible to kids. And I think this change would actually be a great impact for people with transportation issues, whether they're downtown St. Cloud and Southeast Side, or if they're out in Clarissa and can't get to the next library. We're not sure how much it would really cost, because this is a revenue stream, yeah. And that revenue stream's been declining over time as circulation habits have been changing. We do know we collected about $40,000 last year. And when I went back and looked to see what people owe in relation to what we collect in terms of the outstanding fines, about 32% of what is owed to Great River is from juvenile materials, and we only collect about 24% of on juvenile materials. So there's quite a few people who check out kids' materials and then never come back to the library. So thinking back to that fines forgiveness and getting people back in the door, it seems like this would be a good next step. We recognize that it might take some time to process and think through it. You might have more questions, but that's in a nutshell how we got to this proposal here.
Well, plus this doesn't take into account staff time involved in tracking this and so forth. And that's an additional charge.
Mm-hmm. Questions, concerns? Any others?
It seems, Mr. Chair, like this is how everybody's going, but yeah. Just being brought up the way I was brought up, if you owe somebody something, you pay it, and if you have something from somebody, you give it back to them, but I guess we've got to all get over that, don't we?
Yeah.
To some degree, we'd still be charging if it never comes back. You know, Kichigami does this already, and they're just to the north. They're headquartered out of Pine River, so they're Brainerd and Bemidji are their two bigger libraries. And what they do is when the item is long overdue, and I don't know if they use 45 days like we do, but then a bill goes out, and when the item comes back, there is a processing fee if it was that long overdue. And so it would still go through the normal collection processes if it's never returned. It's just that interim period when it's at home. It's not going to accrue additional fees. We would also look at we had expanded Read Down Your Fines to be all the time last year because of the way the fundraising stream was adjusted. So what we would like to also do as part of this is expand Read Down Your Fines to everybody and not just kids, because there will be fewer kids reading down their fines. So the fundraising would still support Read Down Your Fines, but it would allow adults to read down their fines, which has been asked for by patrons. And also for those kids who are higher level readers, which is why we're asking for a young adult material recataloging as well. If they're reading The Help or they're reading To Kill a Mockingbird, that's going to be an adult cataloged item. So that will still accrue fines on that card, and we'd want that child to be able to read down their fines as an option, and rather than extending it right out of the gate to all materials. I don't think we could afford to do all DVDs or all books like St. Paul has done at this point. So it seemed like the next best step. Jamie also wanted me to mention, too, that with the dollars coming in through fundraising for the collection, even if we see longer hold lists on those young adult materials because they're fines-free, so young adult would be your John Green, Fault in Your Stars, or Harry Potter is sometimes cataloged as young adult, we'd have additional dollars to support the collection to buy more copies of things if we need to. So we feel like we're in a good position to move those young adult materials into the juvenile collection. And if the board is willing to move forward quickly on this, I think the staff would be interested in maybe getting it in place in time for summer reading program in June. If the board wants to think about it, I think we'd be fine with that too. But if we're going to do it this year, it would be a good launching off point.
My point is Karen, is let's try this to see if this can alleviate some problem. If it works, great. If it doesn't, we can always rescind it and go back.
You know? Right.
How about this idea? When you do billing, could we set something up that in lieu of a fine that could offer volunteer hours?
Yeah. We've been asked that before. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of legal implications around that.
Okay.
As soon as she mentioned lawyer, the night was on board.
Thought you had a good idea.
It was about, I felt good.
It turns
for
into a wage
seconds.
And hour issue.
That's a liability, too.
Okay, what would the board like to do on this?
I'll move, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, I'll second it.
Dave and Lee, second. Further discussion?
I think it's a great idea. And the sooner you get kids reading, the better off. Yeah.
Because if a year from now it says it didn't pan out like we thought, we can always reset it and go back. You know? But, okay, further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Item 6, base budget proposal.
All right, this is our first round on the 2020 budget. On the cover sheet, you can kind of see what the big changes are, and we broke them out this year in terms of revenue and expenditure to give you a better idea of what's happening. So that when we put all of the information together from all of the departments, the total 2020 budget looks like a 1.18% decrease over 2019. And part of that is due to, a large part of that is due to the increase in revenue from interest. And Aaron and I estimated that conservatively based on what we know we've got locked in for CDs within the next year. So we feel like that's a pretty certain number. The other two items worth noting in that, I guess all of them are worth noting. The two one-time shifts from the revenue fund and the MinLink Gateway are an effort to kind of clean up some of those accounts that we were talking about last year that are holding money for no real purpose. They're actually a pass-through account, so this resets them to zero effectively, and going forward that would then be a pass-through number. So it is one-time funding going into this budget, this base budget piece. The other $2 amounts in the revenue section that are decreases are due to the discontinuation of Staples payment and para aid. Below are the expenditure changes. We added 3 benefit packages last year when we combined the shared management of Howard Lake Cokato, Belgrade, Painesville, and Becker Big Lake. That was a shift effectively from the total dollars for staffing into the benefits line, but that is reflected there. We are increasing telephone services. We're currently using our regional library telecommunications aid reserves to pay for some of our telephone, and we were able to do that up until, I think, the 2015 funds. So this is getting us to the point where someday we'll have to pay for all of it again. Library materials increases based on inflation and what Jamie's seeing. Decrease to building maintenance is based on actual costs for the lease last year. We recognize that we have no idea where we're going to be with the lease by 2020, but that is a reflection of actual right now. And then the others are just decreases based on what we actually spent. So we brought legal down, we brought payroll services down. One worth noting is the PTO payouts at separation. We had talked about PTO payouts a little bit at personnel. This is a very volatile number, depending on how many retirements we have of people who have been here a long time. Some years it runs in the $20,000 range. We had one $90,000 year within the last 5 years. So we are budgeting it based on what looks like the average, but we could be under budgeting pretty significantly, but it doesn't make sense to build that into just the budget if we don't know that payout's coming. Unless
you track who's eligible?
We don't. Well, I shouldn't say that. We have it, but we don't necessarily know who who's going to retire.
Yeah, it's one thing to be, to have the option, and it's another thing to exercise it, so.
We have quite a few people who are eligible, and I would say most of them will be here in 5 years. You know, it's just the workplace that we have. So those are the major changes from 1 year to the next. We did budget the same amount for state aid as what we received this year. That's a big guess as well. So, Aaron, I don't know if I missed anything.
No, you did a very nice job. So like as Karen was saying, we just put this together based on 2019, and then personnel costs obviously are where they're at currently. So there's no increases or anything built into this space budget at all. So
we will have a closed session with the full board to talk more about wage labor negotiation strategy, especially related to wages as we start developing that budget.
Okay, any questions? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve proposals? And
yep.
See? And
we do that? Approve the proposals?
I don't think we need the base. Okay. It's written as a proposal. We do have it marked as discussion because what happens next is we'll have the Finance Committee in April with the department budget requests, and all of that gets combined into the preliminary budget from there.
Thank you for saving me, Dave.
I'm here, buddy, anytime.
Okay. Any other discussion on that issue?
I just wanted to make one other point. If you look at the base budget estimate forms that follow the factor table, the reasons for the increases or decreases are noted on the right column in case you have questions on any of them. I'm like, why did you reduce legal 50,000 or whatever? The explanations are in these sheets here.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. The other discussion. Okay, we're done with that. The next meeting is April 16th, and the time to be determined.
Is there any issue? I think this year, this meeting, we adjusted times to make sure we had quorum. I don't know if there were any conflicts on the 16th that we should know about.
Ed?
Nope, we just discussed it today.
Okay. All right.
So just assume we don't have
any
issues.
We'll probably go with 5:30 then, right? Yeah.
Okay. And that's it. We stand adjourned this at 5:50.